Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Resurrection Sunday morning. This is Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful Sunday morning. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John 4:17, we will find these words: "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." And another scripture I would like to read with you this morning is in 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies." The week of resurrection AD 33 changed the world. Never had 7 days of time had such a profound effect on the past, present, and future of civilization. To say it's changed the world would be a gross understatement. Every being in heaven was aware of the consequences of these 7 days. Every man, woman, and child who were spiritually minded was plugged into the soul of this event. From the foundations of the world, nothing was more important than Resurrection Week 33 AD. No event had surpassed the importance of these 7 or 8 days since. Of course, what I'm speaking of are the events from the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, riding the colt of a donkey, to the disciples discovering his empty tomb. We call it Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. I know there are those who have questions as to whether he died on Friday or Thursday or Wednesday. It should not matter to you which day of the week he was crucified on. What matters is, early one Sunday morning, before daybreak, his Father in heaven raised him out of death. And unlike Lazarus, Jesus never had to die again. In Romans 6, 9, and 10, we find these words: "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion or control over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God." There are two very important points being made here. Number one is that he was raised from the dead. The angel said to the women at the grave, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You who are alive in Jesus must stop looking for life in dead things and dead places and dead people. You are alive. You need never to look for life in dead places. Like Jesus, we are raised from the deadness of this life. Death can never have dominion over him again or over you again. Death and despair and hopelessness can never be a factor in his life anymore. The second point is, Jesus lived. He was raised to live, not just exist, or not just to survive, and not just to subsist, but to live. The existence many of us call living is only daily survival, barely holding on to a thread of life. the resurrection of Christ not only meant that he was awakened and then to rise up as someone is awakened from a night of sleep, but the Bible always says that he was raised from the dead. This is a very emphatic word in the epistles. Romans 8:24 tells us that the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead was God himself. Romans 8:11 tells us, but if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies. In Acts 13:30, the Bible says, but God raised him from the dead. When God resurrects you, you will never fall and stay under the power of sin and hopelessness again. Why is that? It's because the resurrection of God is different from any other restoration in the world. It's different from any other guru or prophet or self-help source. God's resurrection is a special power instituted by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Paul finally learned how to count, because in this particular passage, he used the word count at least three times. He says again, what things were gained to me, these things I count loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And then we have this most important verse, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. What he's speaking of here is not just a sensory knowledge, but an act that embraces every organ and every mode of knowledge. By seeing and by hearing and investigating and experiencing, he says that I may know him. What is it that the Apostle Paul must know about God? He must know what is the power of this resurrection. What kind of power raised up Christ from the dead? He wanted to know, is this power still around today? Is it still potent enough to be effective in my life? Is it still active? Is the resurrection power of God still real? And once you experience the power of his resurrection, then you can experience the fellowship of his suffering. What kind of power and knowledge is this that God gives to you that you can now experience and overcome suffering once you get it? He says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul didn't think that he would somehow miss the resurrection of the dead. You notice the play on words here. He is speaking about the resurrection from the dead, not the resurrection of the dead. This is a special out resurrection that secures the rising up of all of God's children. This is not just speaking of raising you up in the last day, but this is a spiritual resurrection that raises you up every day of your life, that pulls you up, that helps you to stand up, to get up out of those dark, deep, despairing places. For Paul, the power of Jesus' resurrection was not just an amazing event. It was not just something that happened to Jesus. It was a dynamic power which operates in the life of every individual child of God. The word resurrection here, as used in Philippians 3, is different from the word resurrection that's used in other places in the New Testament. This is a special spiritual out resurrection. But this word means to be resurrected out of something, Now we know what Paul meant when he said we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. It was a resurrection of his life. He was hard pressed, but God resurrected him so that he was not crushed. When he said we are perplexed, but not in despair, it was a special power where God lifted him out of a perplexed state so that he would not be in despair. When he said that he was persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, that was a type of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, where you are persecuted, but you're not forsaken, where you may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. Why? Because God is holding you up. God is supporting you. When God is on your side, no man can stand against you. The scripture further says in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. I think another way of saying that is that I am squeezed, but I'm not squashed. I am bewildered, but not befuddled. I'm pursued and not abandoned, knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. And today, you may be knocked down, but you are definitely not knocked out. The power of God's resurrection in your life is so powerful that there's no circumstance that can resist him, no difficulty that can obstruct him, no situation that can constrain him. There's no power that can control God. There's no enemy that can defeat him, no obstruction that can block his power, no force that can limit him. There's no problem too big for him to solve, no night too dark for him to brighten, and no heart too broken for him not to bless. There's no joy too lost for him to restore. What I'm saying to you today is that the resurrection power of God is not a one-shot deal. It is an ongoing process, a transforming activity of God in your life. The process may be best understood as a cycle of dying and raising with Jesus. You can see that cycle throughout the New Testament. Paul's language throughout the epistles indicates a process in which personal crosses produces a series of many resurrections. And each mini resurrection takes you deeper and deeper into the knowledge of Christ. That's what the Bible meant when it said in Proverbs 24, "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again." That falling seven times indicates despair. It indicates your hopelessness. It indicates your lack of strength in your own life. It indicates your weakness. But the Bible said every time you fall, God will pull you back up again, not by your own power, but by the power of God. When you are down and have no power to rise up on your own, the Bible said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that will strengthen your weakened legs and strengthen your tired body and infuse your stressed out brain. You should know what the Bible is saying here. You may be down for the last time, and when it appears that all is lost and your family has gathered to write your obituary and they're dividing up all of your things in the next room, and you can hear them talk about how good you once were, and you can hear them say things like they don't know how you lost it so quickly. People have written you off. People have said that you're a loser, or people have said about you that nothing good will come out of your life. That's the type of life that calls for the resurrection power of Christ. That's the type of life that God will resurrect. What I'm saying to you is resurrection is a daily occurrence. It's something that God will do for you each and every day of your life. Every time you are down and out, you can call on this special power of God, and he will send his fire from heaven as he sent it in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory, The fire came down from heaven. It landed on the altar in the tabernacle, and it sparked a fire that burned throughout the Old Testament on the altar. That's the type of power that God is ready to ignite in your life today if you will allow Him to do it. When everyone has written you off and everyone is writing your obituary, you will feel just a little spark of life inside of you. You will feel some brain activity return to you. You will feel some movement on the inside of your body. And you will come to understand that it's not over until God says it's over. And while you are living, and while you are alive, you should live. Life is to be lived. If there's one thing that we learn from Jesus, is that He lives. And when everyone has written you off, you can hear a little voice inside of your head. You can hear the resurrection power through the Holy Spirit saying to you, I am better than this. You will hear that same voice inside of your head saying, I am not going to waste my life away like this. God will not allow your life to be sucked out of you by addictions and by bad habits, by bad decisions, by abusive relationships. Our God will come to your rescue. He will not let that happen to you. I read recently about how Eskimos in some northern Alaskan communities would capture animals for food. They would take bloody water and they would freeze it with a very sharp knife blade inside of it. And then they would stake the knife blade with the bloody water frozen around it in some place on a pole or on a stick. And sometime during the night, the animal that the tribe was trying to capture would come by and begin to lick the blood off of the knife. Of course, the icy blood would begin to melt, and the animal had no idea that all of the ice had melted off of the knife. The animal would continue to lick the knife until the knife began to cut into the animal's tongue. The problem was, the animal couldn't tell when it stopped tasting the icy blood that the tribe put on the knife. It couldn't tell when it stopped tasting that blood as opposed to its own blood. And the more the animal licked the knife, the deeper the knife would cut into the animal's tongue, and the animal would eventually bleed to death. I know that story is a bit gross and disgusting and uncivilized, but that's exactly the way sin and habits and addictions work in our lives. We are seduced into addictions. We find pleasure in addictions. We find acceptance in addictions. And the addictions or the bad habits or the sin in our lives is somewhat like licking that knife and will eventually turn against us. And we cannot discern when the sin or when the addiction turned against us. So the drug or the alcohol or the abusive relationship that you once had so much pleasure in will cut like a knife into your life. Eventually, it turns against you. You cannot look back at that now abusive relationship, and you cannot determine exactly when it turned. Just like an addiction in your life, you cannot look back and determine when you stop having pleasure in that drug or in that relationship and when it actually turned against you. But one thing we do know is that all addictions, all bad habits, all bad relationships will eventually turn against you, and you will have trouble discerning when you stop tasting the blood from the knife and start tasting your own blood, eventually to die or to bleed out from that addiction that you once found so much pleasure in. Addictions will seduce you. It may be giving you pleasure at this moment in your life, but I assure you, it will turn against you and it will take its toll in your life. But if you turn to God, you will hear the voice of God speaking to you, and He will say to you that your life is not over. And resurrection power will begin to raise you up. Resurrection power will begin to pull you out of that misery. Something will nurture you and cultivate your spirit. There is a greater power than you at work. Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's the resurrection power of God. His power makes you alive. When the women came to the tomb, the angel told them, "He is alive." Also, Paul writes in Acts 1:3, "To whom he," Jesus, "also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." I hope you understand what this verse is saying. He presented himself alive after his suffering. So you may be suffering now, but what God is saying is the resurrection power will lift you up. Jesus' message to John on the island of Patmos was, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore." But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, "Amen." He said, "I came back with the keys of death and Hades." Jesus came back with the power and the authority to unlock death. He came back with the power and authority to keep you out of Hades. Since Jesus is alive, we have no need to fear because he holds the keys to death and hell. Whatever the reason for your uncertainty in life, whether it be the condemning past or the apprehensive present or the gloomy future, he commands us to not be afraid. He commands us to not fear. If you think that you got to meet somebody's standards to feel good about yourself and you find yourself in a performance trap, I'm here to tell you on this day, God will raise you up and he will make you just. He has already justified you. If you think you must be approved by others to feel good about yourself, I'm here to tell you today that that's an approval trap. God will raise you up. God has already raised you up, and he has reconciled you to himself. You are already a friend of God. You don't need anyone else to call you friend as long as God calls you a friend. You've got the only approval that you will ever need in life, and that's God's approval. If you think you're failed and you're unworthy of love and you deserve to be punished, I'm here to tell you today that God raised you up and he died for your unworthiness. If you think that you cannot change, you think that you are trapped in hopelessness, I'm here to tell you this resurrection day that God raised you up and gave you new birth power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, resurrection power. The prophet said that God walked by his people in the wilderness, and they were bleeding and no one was caring for them. And he looked down and saw that no one had tied the umbilical cord and his people were bleeding out like the animal that licked the knife. And he spoke the word to his people. He said, "Live. It's time for you to live. It's time for you to stop dying." He said, "Live. Get up and live right now." And the word for you today is to live. Stop dying. You are not dead yet. Your obituary is not written yet. Get up and live for God. Get up and live this life. Do not let life pass you by. Stop letting life dictate its terms to you. You are alive in Christ Jesus. Today is your day to live and not to die. Resurrection power is the power to bring light into your dark life. If God can raise up his son from the dead, he can surely raise you up this very day.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374. or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.